Blog Talk Radio.
This shit right here, nigga. This shit right here, nigga. Right here.
Yakuza. Yakuza. Yakuza Kick Radio. Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock. Listen, listen. This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
That's Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird. Boom.
All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black D. Out.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
And you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Jerry Cat and fucking Eric Worms cannot fucking keep this from the public, that they are fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction, and motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
J-Cat Morris and Eric Williams, your hosts of Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. It is September 22nd. It is Thursday night. So that means you get another edition of Yakuza Kick Radio. I am your host, J-Cat Morris, and with me as always is my co-host, Eric Williams. What's poppin', Eric?
Hey, J-Cat, how you doing today?
Doing all right, doing all right. You know what I mean? We got a lot of things to talk about. It's actually quite a loaded show, comes right down to it. If all goes well, this should be a show to remember, that's for sure. You know, we... hope to have again tonight as our guest. You know, a little while back, I think a couple months back, as it goes, we had Matt Tremont as a guest, and I'm a huge fan of the dude. I think he's part of the future of the business. You know, on the side of deathmatch wrestling, I think he's definitely, you know, one of the main people you should be looking at right now, because he's on the come up for sure, and fast. So. But we brought him on, and his connection was terrible. Like, he told us, you know, he was running around his yard in the middle of the woods, and, like, you know, his connection was just terrible and whatever. So, you know, I kept in contact with Matt, and I really tried to, you know, say, you know, as soon as your connection gets better, please, you know, let us get you back on, and let's do this proper, because, you know, it's only right. You know, it's a guy that I really, really wanted to have on, let everybody, you know, get that interview out of him, you know. Matt told me he'd never even done an interview before. So, I mean, you know, it's just an honor to have a guy like that who I really respect, you know, and is towards, you know, the beginning parts of his career, and hopefully it'll go a very, very long time. And, I mean, to be the guy's first interview, man, it should need to get done right. So hopefully shortly we'll have Matt back on the air, and with a far better connection, we'll actually be able to, you know, hear the answers to his questions, and, yeah, we'll go from there. Pretty excited for that. So, outside of that, we do have our NFL talk later on. We do have groundbreaking. I will be reviewing my first entire Ring of Honor show. I mean, you know, I've watched a match here and there. I used to attend shows regularly, you know, long before I did a radio show. you know, or semi-regularly. I've been to quite a few Ring of Honor shows, not as, anywhere near as many as CZW as I've been to, but, yeah, I've been to quite a few Ring of Honor shows back in the day, and, you know, I watch a match here and there, and I always read the results just to see what's going on, and I always keep up on their news, but really haven't watched the show in its entirety until this past weekend. I couldn't even tell you what drove me to do so. Maybe it was the Briscoes promo that they put out, and, you know, we played last week on the air, and it did get me hyped up. I mean, them guys, they cut a pretty enthusiastic promo, and, but beyond that, again, because, I mean, I probably just would have went and watched that match. But something, I don't know, intrigued me to just say, hey, let me see what they're up to. Let me watch this whole show. So I did, and I'll be giving, you know, a match-to-match review of, you know, the show the way I saw it. And I have some pretty interesting comments for certain wrestler who's got quite a buzz around him right now. And I feel he's grossly overrated. And I can't stress the word grossly enough. But so... we'll get into that later. Everybody stay tuned. Yeah, I'll give you a little teaser to that. But anyway, just waiting on our guest now. Hopefully be here any minute.
What's going on, DDP in the chat room? How you doing?
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm.
Bang.
Bang. That type of thing. But, yeah, we got, another show that actually our guest has been in. You know, went all the way to the finals in his IWA King of the Death match, and I got a whole bunch of different news and stuff like that that came out of that as well to talk about later on.
I think we might have to go into overtime tonight.
I don't know. We'll play it by ear. We'll do what we got to do. Should be fun, though. You know, we got King of the Death match, ROH. We got a little bit of Raw to talk about. And we got, what else do we got?
We got a pay-per-view to talk about, too.
What pay-per-view? Oh, yeah, they had a pay-per-view, that's right. Real quick, let me give, because, of course, they have podcasts in prison. So let me give a happy birthday shout-out to my man, the man, Nick fucking Gage. It's his birthday today, and, you know, like I said, I'm sure they get internet radio and the fucking, Jesus. So,
You never know.
Yeah, big shout out to him. Anybody want to deliver the message for me, feel free to do so. Happy birthday from J-Cat, Eric, Yakuza Kick Radio. No doubt, man, when you get out, you're coming on this motherfucker. So.
You're damn right.
Yeah. So I don't know if there's anything we can get into real quick. I know we got a couple things that are kind of going to go long for him, so I don't want to jump into any one of the big clips or any one of the big things that we're dealing with. But
let me throw out the fucking cheap plug out there. If anybody in the Strasburg area this Sunday, my crazy ass is going to be doing some stuff on a show in Strasburg for Extreme Hybrid Wrestling. So anybody want to head out there that way, Sunday night, 5 p.m., should be interesting. My old stomping grounds, where I went, fucking used to go to college, like fucking within a half mile of where this place is going to be. So, yeah.
What is Eric going to be doing there?
Who the fuck knows?
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to be doing. A promoter told me today, yeah, just expect to do anything. And I'm like, all right, whatever. No problem. Might be doing some filming. He fucking wants me to do some managing. See how that goes. See what happens with that. Could be real interesting.
All right.
Could be at Stroudsburg High School, so see what happens.
Stroudsburg. Okay.
Yeah, that fucking place is a fucking boring ass town, so going back up there for
a great way to promote your are you a heel manager?
I don't know what I'm gonna fucking do. They fucking don't even tell me what I'm gonna do. But
because I mean, you know, I mean, first thing to do, you know, you're a heel manager, go in there and start trashing the town. You're already on the radio
going, that's a fucking horrible town. Hey, well, I already have my name, so, and you get a kick at it.
You'll be getting a kick at it.
Well, it's not. It wasn't my idea. It was a former guest of the show, Rodney Rush's idea. So, quick shout out to Rodney Rush. Hope he's doing well. I know he's.
Is it Eric Paramore?
No, it's actually gonna be. It's actually gonna be Artie Markland.
Artie Markland?
Yeah.
Are you related to David Markland?
I might as well be.
Oh, that's
I'll tell you a little later off air.
That's something. All right.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
So, yeah. Well,
should be interesting. That's all I'm going to say.
Marty Markland. All righty. I don't know if you've heard, but Johnny Gargano was actually at the SmackDown taping this past week, for this coming SmackDown. He was actually on the Superstars edition this coming week, and he lost the match against Brodus Clay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
so Gargano's in fucking WWE.
No, I mean, more or less a tryout match, you know. I mean, they throw guys.
It's a great opportunity for him.
What's that?
It's a great opportunity for him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, whether it's a tryout match or whether you're under contract or whatever, I mean, you're getting, you know, some kind of look. You're directly in their ring. Then, yeah, that's the way to go.
He'll probably get signed, you know.
You think?
You know how it goes. Every time I hate somebody, you know, they always get signed, so.
Well, maybe you should spread your hate a little wider because there's a lot of guys I like to get rid of. But
I
don't
like
think
to,
the WWE sees it that way.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to fucking figure out topics that we can fucking talk about, but everything is fucking
long form.
Like,
yeah, sure is. One of the things that we've been looking forward to, I've been looking forward to, will be my next attendance at CCW because, like Wyclef said, I'll be gone until November.
October. October is calling you. DJ will call you and say, where are you?
And I'll say, at my motherfucking house, in my motherfucking kitchen.
Like, you need to come to CZW.
Kiss my ass if you don't like it. This is my house. You know what I mean? And so, like I said, like Wyclef said, I'll be gone until November. And when I come back in November, I'll be doing that doubleheader over there. They got the doubleheader going on with Dragon Gate USA. This will be my first Dragon Gate USA show. And they actually announced two matches for that show. The afternoon show being Dragon Gate USA. Announced Cena and Ricochet versus the Dirty Ugly Fucks of Sami Callihan and Eric Cannon. And those guys are undefeated at this point. And Cena and Ricochet are holding them belts. So, it's going to be pretty interesting to see the way that this goes down, and very, very much so looking forward to that. As well as Yamato will be defending his heavyweight title against Chuck Taylor. So very interesting. Also on the card, as listed thus far, will be BXB Hulk, Pac, Yoshino, Tozawa, Brody Lee, and AR Fox, and many more to come, many more things to, be announced and everything like that.
Hopefully many more.
Oh, yeah.
Richie Swann.
I'm imagining and hoping that, he would be,
Well, they'd be better.
Yeah.
All
so,
I say is the reviews of Rich Swann and Ricochet is apparently they're getting way better. And the people are saying online that you could tell that they're getting, you know, they're more crisp with their moves. They're getting more talented.
My comment on that is I don't believe the people who are saying that. What I would think that is really happening is people are starting to realize the talent that these guys have had for a long time now. So it's
well,
not a matter of them getting so much.
Reporting this. The Wrestling Observer is reporting that. So the Wrestling Observer is reporting that they've
well,
gotten
they just,
way better, and that they claim that them wrestling 5 days a week and wrestling the top talent in Japan is fucking helping them out.
Well, I'm sure it is, but in the same token, I think the Wrestling Observer is just now observing the talent that these guys have had from day one, and you know, they may be getting slightly better, they may be learning more, they may be, but these guys should have been on these guys' radar from fucking the start. So, yeah, whatever gets these guys noticed by everyone out there, and everybody starts talking because they deserve to be talked about, straight up. And I can't say enough good things about Rick Swann. And, I mean, Ricochet, he's been a guy who has been one of the best fucking flyers in the business for a long time now. I think we finally do have our guest. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome back to the show the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont.
What's going on,
Matt?
How's the connection?
Oh, it's sounding beautiful.
All right, awesome. How you doing, brother?
Awesome. So we had explained to everybody, you know, we bring you back on. We're pretty much just going to do this all over again because, you know, we want to do it proper for you and, you know, everybody
definitely
hear you straight up. So one more time, let's give everybody the breakdown on how you came up, your training, that whole thing.
About a year ago, I got tired of the backyard, wanted to do it the right way. And started training at the DWF school in Pennsauken. Trained none other than Philadelphia's own Ron Starr. And September 25th last year, had my first match, six-man tag, and, you know, blossomed from there. And, you know, that was the early beginnings.
All right. You know, what were some of your, like, you know, the guys that inspired you and, you know, what your goal was when you actually decided to, you know, even getting into backyard, like what drove you to get into that type of thing?
Hardcore's, I mean, obviously always been one of my favorite genres of the business, of the sport, growing up, you know, Foley, Funk, Nick Gage, Zandig, all the ultra-violent guys, hardcore guys, old school and new school, were big benefactors into drawing me into what I want to do, what I'm doing today.
Right.
Yeah, most of those guys, Funk, Foley, obviously, you know, you can see the similarities with Gage and, you know, real big influence on me. And, yeah, those main guys. And then, like, guys like Ryan Pillman, big William Regal fan, Finley, those type of, you know, strong style guys, hard-hitting, you know, grind guys.
Right. Well, I mean, the first time I actually, you know, I'd heard about you, you know, was the Carnage Cup, which I'm sure was a little bit later than, you know, from when you first got started. Was that the first, like, actual big name break that you got, or was there, you know, before that?
Definitely pretty much. The Carnage Cup was definitely the platform that got my name out there. The week before, I wrestled Wax in Jersey for Atticus's NWA Vintage Pro. And that was my first death match. That was February 19th this year. And I knew certain people were there that I knew if I did good, you know, maybe other opportunities would come from it. And I think no later than a day, offered a spot in College Cup. And off to Alabama I went. And going into it, knowing and working Danny Havoc, one of the top guys in the genre of the sport, you know, death matches, hardcore, whatever. And I just knew going in, you know, I have to give him my all and tear it up with him. I couldn't have been happier with my performance and being able to work with a guy and a cowboy, Danny Havoc. And the match went good, man. And Carnage Cup was definitely my platform to where, you know, I became the Bulldozer. Everybody knew because I was a nobody before that.
Right. Now, going into Carnage Cup, it was actually going to be Danny Havoc versus the half-breed Billy Graham, and you came in as the big surprise to actually, you know, take his place and, you know, be like that special enforcer, the newest part of Cult Fiction. You know, how did that whole thing go down for you, you know?
I don't get involved in the behind-the-scenes stuff. You know, whatever I'm told to do, you know, I'm a soldier, I'm going to go out there and do it. was told the whole Pulp Fiction angle was going on, and, you know, I had to show that that match was to, you know, show Billy Graham I was worthy of the Pulp Fiction colors, and, you know, I saved him from the ass-whooping from Danny Havoc in the match, and told him, you know, I want these colors, Graham, I want these colors. Later on in the night, me and Freak Show, I did a run-in during the IWA Deep South title match, and helped Freak Show win the belt, and the Dawn the Colors was given the T-shirt, and I think that was the introduction into Pulp Fiction. I think we were the last members. We killed the gimmick.
I mean, there's a lot of good things that came out of Pulp Fiction and stuff like that. I mean, it would be great to see you know had a good run within the Pulp Fiction angle when they were actually doing it in CZW. If you came in a little earlier, but. Yeah, man, it was just cool because, you know, that brings a lot of attention to people because, you know, they got a good following. And, of course, they, Cole Fiction, you see Cole Fiction this, Billy Graham this. You look over and you're like, who's this bulldozer guy? And next thing you know, you start looking like, oh, shit, look at this guy. So, I mean, do you think that did help at all or? Oh, I think we lost him. Actually on hold, pull him right back up.
Hello?
Sorry, we lost you, dude.
You there?
Yeah, I think we just lost you and we're back.
All right, cool.
I don't know what the last thing you heard was, but I was saying, you know, Pulp Fiction had a big following at the time and, you know, a lot
Definitely.
Of people were looking and you know, they would, not even knowing your name, just, okay, what's Billy Graham up to? What's Pulp Fiction doing? Next thing you know, like, oh, Bulldozer, you know, what's this guy up to? And then see you tear it up,
yeah.
It's like, oh, look at this guy and shit. So, I mean, do you think that actually helped, like, really boost you up a little bit, or?
I think that the Pulp Fiction name definitely has some name recognition behind it, and a lot of people know what it is. So, I thought it was nothing but a positive for me at the time. Didn't really, you know, move on to anything, you know, the gimmick kind of faded away a little, but
right, that night,
with all the hype around the tournament and the Pulp Fiction thing, yeah, that's definitely a positive, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, it definitely just, like, at least put eyes on you, and then, you know, once it was there, you know, you kept people completely interested in, you know, everything you've done in that ring. I mean, you've earned 100% yourself, but I thought that actually, like, got a couple people looking that may or may not have. I don't know. I think eventually you would have got attention, but at the point that you know, it happened, it helped a little. But the other things that came out of that Carnage Cup, before we move on, the stabbing incident. I mean, what was your thoughts on that shit? Right,
stabbing. I guess. It's a tough subject. I think that incident overshadowed the good of the tournament because, I mean, there was some pretty good stuff going on throughout the night. Definitely overshadowed the good. I mean, most of the talk was that incident. Feelings towards it, really. I mean, guys are going to do what they want. I know nobody knew about it going into it. And, it took away from the tournament when there was a lot of good, I guess, you know. Stabbing somebody, I think there's other ways to get over. To me, for me, less is more. I don't think there's any really need to stab somebody with a box cutter. Deathmatch wrestling doesn't need that. I think that's my thoughts on it.
Yeah, no, I would agree. Like I said, I thought it was a stupid idea. They really put it over as if it was like the next coming, and I think it's like some people that are actually putting it out there don't even get deathmatch wrestling for what it was actually meant to be, you know.
That's just ridiculous. That's just ridiculous. Like, I work with a box cutter every day. My job is so that I've cut my fucking hand, like, numerous times, and fucking that shit fucking hurts like a motherfucker, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Box cutters are no joke.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely not. So, I mean, going off of that, I mean, that definitely laid the groundwork for you to actually get into CZW, which you had talked about, you know, was one of your goals and, you know, really trying to get into. And you showed up, you know, hopped the guardrail and fucked Pinky to fuck up. Well, you know, what was your thoughts on that whole experience?
I think everybody kind of knows my story growing up in the company. I've been on the other side of the guardrail. I've watched it on TV. I've bought the DVDs. Supported it since I was 13. It was my ECW growing up, so it was definitely a goal. And once all the things came into play and the right pieces fell together and was brought into the company and Prelude to Violence this past June, and they, like you said, hopped the guardrail and worked Pinky, who I wrestled in the finals at Carnage Cup with, so there was some history between us. And, you know, the crowd took a liking to me, and that got the ball rolling. I'll never forget it. The arena's got a lot of history, and I always think about that type of stuff. And just being in there and thinking about, you know, every nook and cranny of that building, there's history, there's lineage. And just for me to hop the guardrail, to get the W, to go in the Tournament of Death, I couldn't have debuted any better.
Yeah, I would agree, man. It was a great performance, great debut. And, you know, with the brutal Philly crowd and, you know, to get them behind you within one match, I mean, you got to know that's impressive. You sat amongst the crowd yourself, and that doesn't happen for everybody.
If you can get over with the South Philly fans, you can get over anywhere. South Philly fans have a certain taste. You got to know what they want, and if you deliver, you know, they'll help get you over.
Yeah, I seem to think that you settle well with the palate of the Philly fans as far as their taste goes, because shit, man, worked out. What was actually your first, CZW show that you attended?
First CZW show I attended, I was 13. My sister took me. I begged, pleaded, and cried to take me to South Philly. I was living in Atlantic City at the time, so it was tough to get there. The first show was, I believe, August 13th, 2002. It was No Excuses, Bobo Beater, Fans Bring the Weapons match.
Oh, wow.
I sat on the north side corner in front of the snack bar, second row. Never forget it. It was awesome.
Damn. I'm 13. I'm bad with math. So, how old are you now?
22.
Wow. Fucking shit. I didn't even know you were that young. That's fucking unbelievable.
Yeah.
Dude. I'm fucking old man. I'm 33. Fucking, I've been going since 2001.
That's
fucking. Tough. Yeah, man. So I'm emerging this stuff, and believe me, I know when somebody's got it, and that's why we got you on, because telling you, I mean, we have lost a lot of, you know, top guys in CZW. I'm sure you know, and you've been around, but with the people we've lost, some are permanent, and some are, you know, some will be back. Yeah, I hope. You know, even if they're not, I think they gave us enough entertainment, like the Nick Gage. Happy birthday again, Nick Gage. And,
definitely. Happy birthday to the man.
Hell yeah. You know, I mean, we lost like a J.C. Bailey. I mean, we've lost other people to retirement. You know, Wife Beater, Lobos. So those guys, they beat the shit out of themselves. You know, within 3-4 years, they pretty much put themselves out of the business. And, It leaves so much of a void within the hardcore realm. Where do you think that hardcore, do you think that there's more longevity, you know, for a person like yourself or, you know, other people who are just now coming up?
I made the decision going into it. It was something I wanted to do. I've had a lot of people tell me, you know, it's gonna take some years off of you. It takes a toll on your body. I've been doing it for this since February. And, you know, starting to collect the scars and, you know, the aches and pains the day after tournaments and stuff. But I knew going in this is what I wanted, so that's the consequences and the repercussions I'm going to have to, you know, settle with, you know, days after a tournament and stuff like that. It's tough,
yeah.
Man. You know, you're getting hit with barbed wire and light tubes. It's as real as it gets. And, we make our own mind up. This is what we want to do. It's what we love to do for the entertainment of the fans, and that's why we're doing it. So, it definitely takes a toll on you, though.
Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, some people. I mean, and there's legends within the, you know, the deathmatch realm. You know, between the Wife Beaters and Nick Mondos and this and that. And honestly, you know, we're compiled. I mean, you're talking about probably 3 to 4 years tops out of each of them and gone.
Mm-hmm.
And they're names that'll never be forgotten. And then you have guys like you know, the upper echelons, the Jun Kasais that have been doing this for well over 10 years, and he's still going. I mean, where do you think you will fall within that scale? I know it's hard to put a timetable on your own body, but,
yeah.
I mean...
There's not a lot of places left to be able to apply your craft in the hardcore realm. There's only a few promotions, so I mean, as long as that platform is there, I'm gonna do it as long as I can, man. It's not, you know, it's what I wanted to do. Do it as long as I can, you know, until I fall apart, I guess. Just getting
so the
started.
Wheels fall off.
pretty much the same. Like you said, Jun Kasai, I mean, he's a crazy monkey for a reason, and, you know, he's been doing it for a decade plus, and, you know, Nicky's been doing it for a long time, and, I mean, a lot of other guys. I mean, Danny Havoc's, he's, I think, 2005, so, you know, until 2011 there. There's a good 6 years right there, and he's been, you know, doing all kind of stuff for the last few years. I plan on doing it for the foreseeable future. Also, hopefully, you know, be able to do some, you know, regular wrestling. I don't want to get that just a deathmatch label on me. You know, I want to be able to show people I can work and be able to wrestle too at the same time. But, you know, the deathmatch is what helped me get over the hump there and get my name out there. So, if, you know, that's the craft I have to apply right now, I'll be doing it for the foreseeable future.
All right. Moving on off of the debut, we had talked about Tournament of Death. I mean, you went into Tournament of Death as, you know, well, I mean, you got over on a night as far as CZW crowd went, but, I mean, you went into that tournament, prestigious tournament, and first round, took on the Necro Butcher. I mean, how'd that go down?
Dude's a legend. It's, you know, two words, Necro Butcher. Definitely surreal, like you said, prestigious tournament. Been to a couple TODs in previous years past. It was just surreal. Honored for the opportunity, very humbling experience to be back there and to see all the weapons, you know, live and up front for the first time. Like, oh, you know, all right, here we go. It's TOD. You know, no time to joke around. You know, go in there and give 110%. And me and Ecuador did, and we beat the shit out of each other. Got a shiner under my left eye. The match flowed well, and I thought it was a good performance by both of us, and, you know, I think the fans took a liking to it, and it was a lot of fun working the Necro, man. Thank you.
Yeah, it was an awesome match. A lot of people, you know, even with the Japanese guys and everything there, definitely called that match of the show. And,
I appreciate that a lot, definitely from the fans.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, easily not only a guy who's working the Necro Butcher, but any first round match to pull off that type of accolade is, in my opinion, quite an accomplishment. And I definitely think that's well deserved.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun working Necro, and to be able to get the W on him, it meant a lot. You know, it was. You know, the company was putting stock into me that night. Like, all right, you know, here's the ball, run with it.
Yeah, definitely. It was pretty awesome to see you do that. And I had said, you know, in the past and everything that I thought the best thing that DJ could ever do, you would really look like a beast of a promoter if he actually put you over in that tournament. Obviously, Masada, you know, deserved the tournament. There's no maybes about it. He's an animal, but...
Yeah.
You know, to put a new up and coming guy over, and then have him prove himself over the, you know, before, during, and after that, and then people go, oh shit, that was a smart ass move. Like, you were the first one to fucking know. You know what I mean? Like, it would reflect. But I'm sure your time will come. And the next round, you faced off against a guy, I believe for your first time, right?
Yes, it was my first time wrestling Masada,
Yeah, Masada. What was it like working that guy?
Best of the best, man. Being in there with, you know, face-to-face, stare down right in the beginning, intimidating presence, felt like a big fight. Match is okay. I think once, not to jump the gun, but once King of the Deathmatch comes out, we really tore it up in Bellevue, Illinois last weekend. And
we'll get into that in just a minute.
But yeah, man, it was awesome. He's the best at what we do right now, and it was an honor to be in the ring with him. And you know, we exchanged some stiff shots in the ring, and I remember I took a couple Kenzans to the head. And,
yeah, you did.
But same thing with Necro. A lot of fun and honor to be in the ring with him. Learned a lot, and you know, I'm now shutting all ears open all the time, just trying to learn from the best and become better.
Right.
And Masada is definitely one of them dudes.
Yeah. Again, I mentioned before, but I gotta say again, something that definitely stuck out to me, and I believe most fans should keep notice on that. I mean, you were wearing a thumbtack hat going into the second round. That was actually from the first round, and that was probably a good 40 minutes in between match one and match two, and you just sat in the back and just lounged out with thumbtacks pounded into your head. And how do you deal with that type of thing?
It's the little things like that I think the fans appreciate. I remember getting in the back and the nurse wanted to take him out, and I said, leave him in. I thought it'd be a good look going to the second round, you know, keep the battle scars on until it's all said and done. So, yeah, it's probably not the smartest thing to do, to leave tacks in your head, but... They're definitely, you know, they're touching your brain, but left them in there, you know, round two, let's go, you know, it's balls to the wall, you know, 110%, so, like, fuck it, let's leave them in there.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's motherfuckers out there just like, it's hot as shit, and they out there complaining about the heat. You're taking the same heat with, like, I don't know, 35 thumbtacks in your skull.
Yeah.
Couldn't imagine adding that to my day. I mean,
it's pretty surreal. The wolf attack hat, and then had the Kenzans on top of that. So yeah, definitely the head took some trauma that day.
What were you feeling on the Kenzan? Because I had talked to Drake after his match, you know, with the Kenzans, and he had that shit pounded flat in his head. And, you know, we hung out after the show, and he said, that's the worst shit I've ever had happen to me.
Definitely the most painful thing so far. The two weren't all the way in. They were, like, halfway in. But the one Kenzan right in front was all the way jammed in my head.
Yeah.
Had to use the clamp to pull it out. Definitely the most pain I've ever been in. Pulling out was not fun. A lot easier going in than coming out.
Yeah, man. I'd imagine. That's brutal shit. I mean, so that was more or less TOD for you and shit. And after that, I mean, you went from that to pretty much working Little Mondo for a couple months. And, I mean, I believe, like, you know, Rory's got some potential and stuff like that. I mean, I do put you on a higher level than him. Even though I'm really cool with Rory, it's nothing against him or anything like that. But, yeah, how did that whole, you know, experience go with you? Because it was, you know, being put into a level where both of you wanted to get somewhere, and you both had to, you know, highlight each other's you know, pluses and stuff like that. And,
yeah.
I mean, how did the whole feud go down for you?
It was different for me because so far up to that point, I was working guys with a lot more experience than I was in the deathmatch game. So going into Little Mondo, kind of just, you know, I don't know about the equivalent experience, you know, same number of matches in the deathmatch game. But it was definitely a test, you know, all right, let's see what the two young kids can do together.
Right.
Could have been better. We're still young, still green, still getting better. I think somewhere, if we meet up again 6 months to a year from now, it's going to be a lot better. But Tangled Web, we beat the shit out of each other, and you know, Little Mondo's rocking a nice scar on his back now, courtesy of the Christmas ornament table from that match. But yeah, man, he's kid's got a heart of gold. He's a fucking he's a warrior. And, you know, we had a nice little program, and, you know, we'll meet up again, and we'll definitely be better than what it was.
Yeah. Well, you know, announced at your last, this last show, he's going to Japan.
Yeah.
It boggles my mind, but, you know, it is what it is. Then, you're actually wrestling the returning brain damage. I mean, this guy's matches have been legendary, but he has been probably out of the ring for about a year. What's your thoughts going into this match?
Pumped up, to say the least. After this weekend, I know we're getting the King of the Death match, but after this past weekend, my confidence, I'm feeling really good right now. I had a lot of good matches down at IWA this past weekend. I cannot wait to get in the ring with Brain Damage. I'm aware of his accomplishments and his accolades, and it's going to be a fist fight. I can't wait. You know, it's a Friday night. It's, you know, a different date, and the CCW seems to be putting the hype machine behind it. You know,
right.
Turning Brain Damage against myself. So I'm pumped up, and like as always, you know, going to give 110% and try to steal the show. And just pumped up, man. Cannot wait. Cannot wait for October 7th at the arena.
Yeah, it's should be pretty good, man. You got to bring it to them. Show them you're the fucking new side of hardcore. This is, you know, this is where it is now. You miss a little bit of what's going on. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
But let's get into what we have been dancing around a little bit. But you know, this past weekend, King of the Death match. You went into that, got dealt quite a fucking hand, and first round got handed the man who beat you in Tournament of Death, and that is Masada, in a barbed wire boards, Taipei, and sandpaper kick pads match.
Yeah.
What the fuck is all of that? Like.
I knew going into it, you know, when I first faced Masada at TOD, I was hesitant and real taken back by his presence and all. And I don't think my performance was up to par in the second round as to the first. So I knew going into King of the Death match, I wanted to make up for that. I wanted to show Masada I've grown in the ring and become better in that 3-month span. And we went in there and we beat the shit out of each other. Took the stick gimmick to my head, sandpaper kick pad to the face, barbed wire boards. It was just the match was flowing. It gelled. Really very proud of that match. And what probably, hopefully, people will be talking about once the DVD comes out is the toothpicks. There was a toothpick baseball bat that I took to the head, stomach, and back, and had about six toothpicks lodged into my skull that I just finally got out just the other day. It was pretty sick. It's pretty nasty. I don't know if the toothpicks have been done before, it was pretty gnarly.
Wow, that's crazy, man. Yeah, I seen a picture with you having, you know, I don't know, 25, 30 of them skewers in your head and shit. Like, crazy shit. I seen the whole, you know, posts about, did you get them toothpicks out yet and all of that stuff. So that's bad. I mean, you definitely seem to be the guy to rock shit in your head longer than it needs to be in there, so...
Yeah, definitely. I hope it didn't, you know, hope it doesn't cause any like long-term nerve damage or anything like that. But King of the Death Matches has been around a long, long time. It's a prestigious death match tournament in the U.S. I was very pumped up going into it, and I was willing to take whatever sick shit the fans brought, and it just happened to be a toothpick baseball bat, and they wanted those toothpicks in my skull, so that's what the fans got. And being able and getting the win over Masada was cool too, and that meant a lot. And off to round two on night two, next night.
All right, so the toothpicks were actually still in night one, right?
Yes. But they do make a return on night two. So.
Great. Well, they were still in your head.
they were still in my head, and then there was more coming the next night.
Oh, wow. So, the next round, you worked a freak show, and the fans bring the weapons, and apparently, fucking toothpicks match.
Yeah.
You know, how did that go, you know, working a guy as big as freak show and, you know, the things that he's done and whatever?
I was pretty excited. That freak show back in February during Carnage Cup when we did the whole Cold Fiction gimmick that night. I looked at it as a challenge. You know, Freak Show's got some size on me, so I wanted to work hard to get him down. And it was a stipulation with fans bringing the weapons, a lot of crazy shit, a lot of tubes, a lot of other gimmicks. Once again, another thumbtack bat. Not thumbtack, it had thumbtacks on it, and the top of it had toothpicks sticking straight out. And he did a lawn dart. He just lawn darted it at me, and the toothpick tank got stuck in my thigh. It was one of those moments where the crowd just went, oh, shit, like, and it was just a gasp. Yeah, man, we beat the shit out of each other. A lot of headbutts, a lot of forearms, a lot of chops. We went all around the building. We went into the bleachers. Very, very fun match. Another match I was very proud of, and was able to get the victory over the big man, and off to the finals, which was the very next match.
Yeah, and the final saw you versus Drake Younger, who ended up the winner, versus Devin Moore versus Simon Says. And this was a no rope barbed wire, 250 light tubes, tables, and ladders match. Like, can they add any more stipulations to that match? And fuck, how did that go down?
Being able to... I was in the finals of the Carnage Cup, but it was by accident. I didn't feel like I earned it, because at Carnage Cup, Danny Havoc got hurt.
Danny
and I was
suffering
too. King of the Deathmatch, different story. Beat Masada, beat Freakshow, two very respected guys in the business, going over on them, going into the finals. I'm real big on history. Once I knew it was a no-roll barbed wire, you know, 250 light tubes, I immediately thought of Lobo and Zandig at the arena, Terry Funk and Sabu. So just being in that no-rope barbed wire environment meant a lot. And the essence and the aura of that whole night. Coming out through the curtain, I think I was the last one to come out. Simon, Drake, and Dev were already in the ring. And we're all in there now on the standoff. Just I took in the moment. It meant a lot. A lot of barbed wire, a lot of blue. I'm pretty sure we broke every fucking light tube in that match, all 250 of them.
That's incredible.
A lot of light tubes, pretty much. Sick, nasty match. Simon Says, big thumbs up to him, man. The dude, night one, cut his neck and was bleeding out of his neck and still continued. Does a crazy dive over the barbed wire at one point during the contest. Just awesome match. It's just one of a crazy four-way that's got a lot going on and a lot of light tubes breaking and a lot of blood. The deathmatch fans are going to love it. Awesome. I went out first. Drake got eliminated by the Golden Boy, Drake Younger. Murdered me with the Drake's Landing. And I was out for the count, 1, 2, 3. And they continued the match, and they continued to tear it up, man. Honored to be in the finals. It was King of the Death matches. That match was fucking phenomenal. Very proud of all three matches throughout the weekend. The whole weekend was just awesome. So far, in three more days, I don't know what today is. Today's 22nd, something like that. A couple more days, I've been in the business for a year. And past weekend at IWA, by far my favorite part of the business so far. The whole week, the trip going down, the matches, I felt real confident and strong about the performances, for not only myself, but from everybody. There was a lot of guys in that tournament that never did death matches before. It was their first time, and everybody killed it. It's got to be definitely tournament of the year, I would say. I really hope, you know, IWA fans and CZW fans and just, you know, wrestling
fans
in general, because it was really good.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you had mentioned in the past that one of your actual dream matches were a no-rope barbed wire match against Drake. Now, does this qualify, or do you still need that one-on-one?
Pretty close, but definitely still want that one-on-one. Drake's one of the top guys. He's one of the best. I guess to scratch one dream match off the list, you know, it's there, but I hope to have a lot more of them. Definitely working Drake one-on-one still. It's still on the list.
Yeah. Now, as young as you are, I mean, what are your aspirations before you pack it in, before you come anywhere near saying, I'm good, I've accomplished everything I wanted to do? What are your goals?
Combat Zone getting in CZW was one. Definitely, you know, advancing there. You know, that Ultravon Underground title to me signifies that, you know, you're the best in the game right now. So definitely wouldn't mind getting that strap and working to achieve that opportunity. Winning one of these tournaments out there, doesn't, you know, TOD, King of the Death, Carnage Cup, if Master of Pain runs again, definitely, you know, get a trophy under my belt.
Well, that's the beginning, but of course you want all these trophies under your belt, don't you?
Definitely. I want them all.
Absolutely. Kill them all, back on top.
Definitely.
Words of the man. But, I mean, I would hope, too, that, you know, at one point or another, you do get that overseas trip and you hit Big Japan up, man.
That's definitely a long-term goal, be able to, you know, just go over there and tour. Germany, WXW is definitely a goal. Japan, Big Japan, that's, you know, I think it's a dream for a lot of guys. Definitely be an honor to go over there. I mean, working with those crazy bastards in the Land of the Rising Sun is definitely a whole new ball game, and definitely enjoy going over there a few times.
Yeah, I'm hoping, you know, come King of the Death match, doing that big doubleheader with Big Japan, you know, you open some eyes and your number gets called, man.
Definitely. Definitely a good time to impress and, you know, put on my A-game.
For sure.
Hopefully the right eyes are there, and you know it's all about, you know, who sees you and word of mouth in this business. So, you know, the right person sees you, you never know what opportunities will come before you.
Absolutely. Eric, you got any questions over there? Eric?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Well, Matt, it's been great. You know, before we let you off, I do want to get the first live on air Bulldozer Matt Tremont promo for Yakuza Kick Radio, if you don't mind.
No problem. Anything in particular you want me to say?
Whenever you're ready, a promo for us in the best, you know, that Bulldozer got to offer.
No problem. When you guys there? Every Thursday? Every other Thursday?
Every Thursday.
Every Thursday?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, gotcha. Yakuza Kick Radio, this is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, it's this right here. Every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio, Tremont says so. Who wants some?
Awesome, dude. Is there anything you want to plug before we let you off? Shout-outs, plugs. What do you want to do, man?
Brain Damage, October 7th. You know, everybody in CZW busts their ass, you know, every month. So, you know, it's for the first time in a while, it's not on the second Saturday. It's on the Friday, October 7th at the arena. Myself versus Brain Damage and the rest of the CZW family, once, you know, like always, turning up in the ring. And, yeah, man, get your asses to the arena. You know, CZW's back in action.
Yeah, man. So yeah, Matt, you know, thanks for coming on again. You know, wish you all the luck in the world, and everybody need to keep their eyes open for this guy right here, because he's the fucking future. So, you know what I mean?
I appreciate you having me on, brother. It means a lot.
It's not a problem, and I hope to have you on, you know, a couple years, a month, you know, whatever the case may be, because I know you're going to keep tearing it up and have shit for me to talk about with you, so.
Definitely, man. Looking forward to it. Anytime I can come on and chit-chat with you, you know, thumbs up for me. Anytime, man. Anytime.
Awesome, bro. Thank you. Have a great night. And, again, man, tear it up, man.
Appreciate it, man. You be easy, my brother.
All right. Peace.
Later.
All right, Eric.
Yo.
That was the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. That is the fucking truth. That is a guy that should be looked at by many, many fucking people. And, you know what I mean? Like, anybody who is a fan of deathmatch wrestling that doesn't know who this guy is, you really need to check him the fuck out, because he's the real deal. He really is. And there's only so many things that's, going to come out. You know, deathmatch wrestling is a very slippery slope. I mean, you're going to get a lot of guys that want to just stick a box cutter in their boy's arm, and you're going to get a lot of other guys who, well, probably not as many guys, but you're going to get a lot of guys that want to stick a box cutter in their boy's arm and punch him in the face. And then you're going to get a few other guys that know how to work a wrestling match and know how to work ring psychology within a wrestling match to make motherfuckers actually care and, you know, just really work it in so it makes sense and it's super fucking dangerous, and that is deathmatch wrestling. Not just, you know, just punch him in the face and hit him in the face with a fucking piece of glass and then stab him in the arm and shoot him in the fucking thigh. Like, that's not deathmatch wrestling. That's, you know, that's just the generic bullshit that people want to put out there and this and that. Okay, so after this wonderful interview, I think we're going to have to take a break. What I am going to do, I think we're going to go to the NFL next. So I'm going to play a little song, a little NFL-based song. We'll take this break, and I'll be back in just a minute.
That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You play to win the game. You don't play to just play. You don't play to win. When you start telling me, it doesn't matter. Then you're tired. Get out.
We couldn't do diddly poo. Offensively, we couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked. We sucked.
You play to win the game. That's pitiful. You don't play to just play.
Perform like that.
You don't play to win.
Okay.
You start telling me
we suck.
It doesn't matter. Then you're tired.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
Okay.
Playoffs? You kidding me?
Playoffs?
Playoffs?
That's pitiful.
Back. Get off the players' backs, backs. I'm responsible for the whole thing. I'm responsible for the whole thing. Okay.
The Bears are who we thought they were. That's why we took the damn field. Now, you want to crown them? They crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. We let them off the hook.
I told you what I'm going to do now. Now you want to know what I'm going to do. Think I'm too dangerous, see it back. I'm too dangerous, see it back. Want to know what I'm going to do. Think I'm too dangerous, see it back. All of which are hypothetical.
I'm a coach's team. I was out
who's playing.
I was out who plays when they play, why they play.
That's why we took the damn field. Damn field. That's why we took the damn field.
Run back.
You play to win the game.
I want winners.
You don't play to just play.
I want people that want to win. This is how I believe, okay? I'm from the old school. Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth, number one. Number two, we cannot give them the game.
Hello? We suck, I tell you the truth.
Right now, that person is not sold out to be part of this team. Cannot play with him.
You play to win the game.
Cannot win with him.
Playoffs. Hello?
Cannot cope with him.
That is so much crap.
Can't do it.
You play to win.
You don't know what we're trying to do. You guys don't look at the films. You don't know what happened. You really don't know. You think you know, but you really don't know. And you never will.
I'm getting on the damn heat with everybody, each and every one of y'all, hammering my tail. I don't coach that way. I don't coach them to do that type of thing.
You think I got your eyes killed, buddy?
I don't coach that way.
You think I got your eyes killed, buddy?
Zero.
I don't really care. I gotta tell you the truth.
I know I'm smarter than that.
You play to win the game.
Playoffs?
You don't play to just play it. You don't play to win. You start telling me.
It doesn't matter.
In the top. Get out.
Yesterday's yesterday. Today's today. Tomorrow will be tomorrow.
Playoffs?
Thanks, Coach.
Yeah, man. So that's what that is. We're going to get into our NFL pick.
You play to win game.
We sure do. And, yeah, we're going to get into these NFL picks.
Box cutters are always great.
The what?
the box cutters are always great to play with. You play to win the box cutter. You play to win the box cutter.
Okay, so anyway, NFL happened this past week, and it's going to happen again. Look at them go. Oh, they're on a streak. Now we're week three in. Right now, if anybody is not keeping count, I can't see why you wouldn't be. But I'm actually up on Eric 1 because we came up 9-8 last week. We were 9-9 week 1. So now you're looking at 18-17, a close, close race. And boy, man, those are not bad scores out of each of us. So, you know, you got some serious contenders. So now we're looking at week 3. And, man, oh, man. Let me talk about my Niners for a second. You know what? We fucking blew this game. And I can tell you a few reasons. And let me tell you, reason number one is our motherfucking coach decided that, now, listen, when you're at a point where you're within field goal range and you kick the field goal, right? And now it's like a long field goal. It's like a 40, high 40s to
55-yard field goal.
55 it was, right? 55-yard field goals David Akers hits, right? Boom, he hit the field goal. Oh, well, there was a penalty. Well, this penalty will give us 15 yards in the first down. Or you can just keep that 3 points. And they just kept the 3 points. That's a bad fucking move because I would say worst-case scenario, as long as you don't make a stupid play and give up a fucking turnover, but how much confidence do you have in your fucking offense? You know what I mean? Like, this dude is surprised. Yeah, his co-host is a fucking Niner fan. You goddamn right, motherfucker. Cool, son. Yeah, is that surprising?
Is he talking about the Raiders? Is Matt talking about the Raiders again?
No, he's a Raiders fan?
Oh, he's watching us. He's a California boy. He's a California boy.
Oh, playoffs? We ain't talking
he's probably getting excited.
No, he just said, oh, my God, your co-host is a Niners fan, which just sparks me up. Like, oh, what? And?
Like, what? He's a Raiders fan, so, hey, he should be talking.
Yeah. Playoffs? Like,
playoffs?
Jesus.
You can't even win a game. You have that. I want to hear that.
Yeah. So, anyway, what I'm saying is, listen, he chose to take the 3 rather than, we got a problem. Yeah, we do. Yeah. Hey, last time somebody got shot at a Raiders Niners game in the preseason. It wasn't even a regular season game, dude. You know what I mean? That's how it go. Nah, that's a terrible decision. Anyway, listen, man, he took the 3 points instead of going for 15 yards forward and having 4 downs to fucking do something better. Like, even if you didn't get anything, even if you lost 5 yards, you'd still have a field goal. You knew your dude made that shit for 15 yards before. Ooh, holy shit. What the hell is going on? Eric?
You play to win the game.
Oh, is that what happens? It sounded like he just died.
Me?
Anyway. Yeah, I just heard, like, a death noise. I don't know.
I know, it was a piece of paper that I was fucking thrown away.
Oh, okay. Paper died. Yeah, man, he went for the 3, and, like, it could have been the same 3 points, but at least it trying to go for some more shit. So that was the first fail. Ooh. Then that, you know, we were up by 10 at that point. Well, apparently it wasn't good enough because we let the other team back in, and, the next thing that happened, you know, we're in overtime, and how do you set up pretty much goal line fucking run defense that there is no coverage on a receiver over 15 yards? And this fucking dude streaked up the middle of the fucking – I don't think this dude – I'm pretty sure this dude never caught a pass in the NFL.
No.
His first catch in the NFL was a fucking overtime win fucking, I don't know, 80-yard fucking pass. Like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Dude, seriously, like, how do you have that lack of coverage on a fucking overtime do-or-die play? Like, yeah, okay, you expect him to run, but if he doesn't, now we're fucking good? Like, what the fuck is going on with that? Like, I don't even understand.
There was no coverage on that motherfucker. No coverage.
It
was wide open.
No, there was no coverage. It was like, well, he's going to run, and if he doesn't, I guess we lose. I don't understand that type of coaching. I don't understand that. You need to have some kind of balanced fucking shit where, like, you can base on run, you could, you know, rush the runner, you could do that type of thing, but your fucking DBs better be ready for a pass at some fucking point in the day because Jesus fucking Christ. So, I don't know. So, Nina's the only one without sound. She keeps screaming about this shit. I have a feeling it has something to do with the little laptop she's on because everybody else hears stuff. So I'm just going to smash the laptop with a hammer when I go back into the living room. It's okay. But anyway.
It'll be fun. Maybe record that and then maybe have an audio clip of next week. We'll, you know, you hear it. Boom, boom. You record and you smash in the laptop.
No, it's actually my mom's laptop, so I'm not going to do that. That would cause a great fucking defunct. So anyway, that was the Niners game. We blew it. Fucking Tony Romo got his fucking rib broke fucking with our guys and all that stuff. And, you know, much deserved. And fuck that guy.
Who broke his rib? Was it Pat Willis?
I forget. No, it wasn't Pat Willis. It was one of our other beasts. And he came in, hit him with like a rap tackle, straightly legal rap tackle, and when he wrapped him with the right arm, he fucking broke his rib. That's how hard our guys fucking come at you, you know what I mean? And niggas gonna see this week, fucking poor ass Bengals. We're gonna see. Sorry, Sammy. So anyway, I figure we'll also touch on your little fucking punk ass Eagles, because...
Oh, here we go. Hey, I didn't say a word. Didn't say a word.
No, you didn't say a word, so I'm not really targeting you that much, but Juan had a lot of shit to say about my Niners losing. Now, a fucking Eagles fan should... Yeah, he's a bitch. So he ain't here. He's getting married tomorrow. You know, rest in peace, bitch. So anyway...
rest in peace, Juan. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, rest in peace. You get married tomorrow. Ain't that a bitch? You probably at your motherfucking your bachelor party tonight with no strippers and you know Kool-Aid and shit like that. So
last week we'll see him in the chat room. So
He's banned now. Like, I don't like that Yakuza thing you're doing. I see a lot of talking about girls in the chat room. Like, you can't do that anymore. You're beat. So anyway, so the fucking Eagles. That's why, like, I was like, you know what, dude, like, we lost the game that we had won, and we fought hard, and we just fucking made horrible decisions, and we did some bad shit and lost in the fucking overtime, because we just made horrible decisions, like, the coaching decisions.
You lost to a good team, too, so.
We're not a bad team. What?
I said you lost to a good team, too, you know?
No, no, the Cowboys aren't that good. The Cowboys aren't that good, and they're going to lose to Washington, but I'm not going to jump ahead on my picks. Anyway,
it's not like you lost to Indianapolis at this point.
I think Indy beat Dallas. So anyway, that's not a game. Anyway, the Eagles. I have watched a fucking clip of Mike Vick getting slammed into his teammate's face like fucking 85 times this week. I hope that puppy killer has a fucking brain hemorrhage, dies, and fucking.
Oh,
and I hope it happens on the field.
He's playing this week. He'll be back this week.
Oh, good. That's great. Get right back in there, buddy. Get right back in there. And I hope a giant just plants his helmet on your helmet, gets fined, and then you die. So anyway, because I don't give a fuck about his fine or your death. So that would work just fine. Just get right back in there. Just shake it off. If you get a concussion, take a nap. Yeah, I mean, that would just lay down and take a nap. That would be my first Some people might tell you, no, you might go into a coma. I say, nope, take a nap, buddy. You're tired. You know, that's just that. But, Eagles lost. Dream team lost, didn't they? So, what
you know
you
what?
Do?
Here we go.
Here we go. I mean, do you have something?
Let's do a pick, all right? Enough of this talk. Juan's not here to hear it, so.
Oh, he'll listen to it on the download, and I hope he loves it. Anyway, first game of the week is the New England.
You gotta play the
Patriots.
Music again.
What?
You gotta play the music again.
All right, so, Jesus Christ.
What?
That's a scroll
that
way back
that,
up.
Is that what noise? Is that what noise you make up when you wake up in the morning, or what?
Nah.
I can't remember.
I didn't know we had Reggie on.
What?
I said, I didn't know we had Reggie on.
No, we don't.
Wow. Anyway.
So anyway, first game up is New England Patriots at the Buffalo Bills. With the New England Patriots favored by 8.5 points, you go ahead and set it off, Eric. Who do you got?
I got New England, baby. New England.
Yeah, that's a good choice because so do I. New England to win 8.5. Next up, we have the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Carolina Panthers. With the Carolina Panthers favored by 3.5 points, and I got to go with Carolina. These guys are beastly. Without a win, these motherfuckers are one of those teams that are two-watch team. Cam Newton, beastly. This fucking guy is nothing to fuck with, and I'm telling you, that, oh boy, you got problems with this guy. And Jacksonville, buried. 3.5, Carolina.
I got it. Carolina as well.
Yeah. Next up, we have my boys over there at the San Francisco 49ers up against the Cincinnati Bengals with the Bengals favored by 2.5. Bengals? Playoffs? What do you got?
I got Cincinnati, baby.
All right. Good for you. Well, I got my boys. I got my boys. You know?
Andy Dalton, baby. All day. Andy Dalton.
Playoffs?
AJ fucking
what are you talking about? Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
No. next up, we got Miami at Cleveland. But Cleveland favored by 2.5 points, and I got the Cleveland Browns.
I'm going with you on that one. I got Cleveland.
Okay. Next up, we got the Detroit Lions at the Minnesota Vikings, with Detroit only favored by 3.5.
I got Detroit.
I got Detroit as well. Next up, we got the Houston Texans at the New Orleans Saints. And New Orleans is favored by 3.5, and I got to go with Houston.
I'm going with New Orleans.
Okay. All right. That's what it is. Next up, we got... Hey, fuck you, NDB Media. Matt. Because, you know, Cincinnati is not going to win. Anyway. then next up, we got the New York Football Giants against the Philadelphia Eagles. And, I usually call them the Philadelphia Eagles. And the Eagles are favored by 7.5 points.
Go with the Eagles.
Of course you are. And I'm going with the Giants because I think that's too many points. Too many points. Can't hug every cat. So,
that'll
you got the Denver.
What? I said that will be joining us later.
You got the Denver Broncos against the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee is favored by 6.5 points, and I got to go with Tennessee.
I got to go with Tennessee as well.
Next up, we got the New York Jets at the Oakland Raiders with the Jets favored by 3.5 points. Who do you got?
I got the New York Jets, baby.
Yeah, I got the Jets as well. I don't know where the spread is so small on that, but that's fine. Next up,
Oakland
we have
sucks. Oakland's a fucking piece of shit team. I hate
right.
Oakland fans.
The Jets are only getting 3.5 points, so
I hate Oakland fans.
Right. Next up, we got the Kansas City Chiefs at the San Diego Chargers. The Chargers are favored by 14.5 points.
This is going to be a blowout. San Diego has it.
Okay, well, I'm going with Kansas City. Kansas City hasn't won a game yet. They've been the embarrassment of the NFL, and I don't think that they're going to win this game, but I think they will at least come close enough to cover a 14.5-point spread. That's why I'm taking Kansas City on this one. Next up, we have the Baltimore Ravens and the St. Louis Rams. And Baltimore is favored by 4.5 points, and I got to go with Baltimore.
I'm going with Baltimore.
Next up, we have the Green Bay Packers against the Bears. The Green Bay Packers are favored by 3.5 points. And what do you got?
And I'm playing the Green. I'm playing the Chicago Bears.
Oh wow! Oh my! Hey, I got the fucking Packers. The Packers.
Those.
Yeah. Right. Next up, we got the Arizona Cardinals at the Seattle Seahawks. Arizona favored by 3.5 points. And what do you got?
I got Seattle.
And I do too. I don't even know why. But I do. Next up.
Matchup.
Yeah, I don't know how to call my division. They're just such fucking train wrecks.
It's the NFC fucking garbage. The NFC West garbage.
Or the overhyped NFC East. But yeah, call it what you want.
Oh.
What was the last time one of the NFC? You know, but they're always fucking put up there as the top team.
They should realign the leagues anyway.
Align these. We have the Atlanta Falcons at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with the Buccaneers favored by 1.5 points. Who do you got?
Atlanta.
I got Atlanta, too. I beat your boy's ass, and I'll beat these boys' ass. We have the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Indianapolis Colts with the Pittsburgh Steelers favored by 10.5 points. I'm going with Pittsburgh, hoping this is a blowout.
Indy, baby, Indy.
Well, you'll make Drake Younger happy until they lose.
He should come back to CZW. Makes me happy.
Well, this guy's, he's got things going on. next up, we have the Washington Redskins. Last up, we do have the Washington Redskins facing the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. Dallas Cowboys favored by 6.5 for no apparent reason. And what do you got?
I'm going with Dallas.
Well, I'm going with the Washington Redskins. Yes, yes, yes. That's what I'm doing.
Great.
And that is our NFL picks. And I guess we'll keep this going. We'll do it from here to the playoffs.
Playoffs?
Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
I can help you win a game.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're going to do. So listen, we're going to get back into wrestling, and I feel like the best way to get back into wrestling is to play some Teddy Hart audio, because that gets my spirits up. And then we'll go reviewing some things and talking some shit and this and that. But let's talk about motherfucking Teddy Hart and, his delusional rants.
Jesus!
Yes, Jesus, Zandig. Let's talk about Teddy Hart training animals to be part of wrestling.
Huh?
I've just been, trying to find the right people to get behind the project. It costs a lot of money to go into the wrestling world and run a legitimate show and not just be another show that sort of falls off. Most shows never make it because they don't have the proper foundation in the first place. I've been working on securing a foundation. Also, I got married. I have a couple new businesses that I've been working with. I've been getting into breeding Persian cats, and I'm also training cats to come out to the ring with me, and I'm also trying to train animals to get involved in matches. So I'm trying to get safety animals like a dog to basically pull the referee's leg before I get the count of three done to me. Little things like that, or maybe my dog will be carrying a weapon for me or something like that, and I would get it off his neck. Or maybe potentially, like if I had a female manager, she has a cat, and the cat is maybe a good way of getting a couple kids out of the audience, and I lure the kids into the audience. I lure the kids out of the audience, and the kids cause a disqualification to happen, so I don't have to lose the belt or something like that. Little things like that. I'm trying to make it a little bit more. It's hard to train cats. I have a guy in Mexico that's training a tiger, a lion, and a jaguar, and we basically we're trying to learn how he's doing it with bigger cats. But it's so much work, and you don't want something to go wrong. So I'm taking little cats and basically smaller dogs for right now, and working on getting them to do tricks in the ring and not to be scared of the big crowd or the noise.
That sounds
okay. All right. Yeah, man. He's going to teach cats and dogs to interfere in matches and to come out to the ring with them and distract and lure kids out. As soon as you start saying, I'm luring kids, I don't care what the next words are, you're fucking weird. And, you know, this fucking guy is crazy. I have probably four to five more clips, and some of them are long as shit. Dude, this fucking guy is... Oh, my Lord.
I want to see him and Matt Hardy wrestle. Who the hell is more delusional?
Him and Matt Hardy? I mean, they would never make it out of the locker room. They would share a shitload of drugs, and they would never make it out of the locker room.
What the fuck is Teddy Hart's problem? Who the fuck married him?
I don't know.
Who the fuck is stupid enough to fucking... Oh, wait, no, it's probably another fucking drug addict.
Oh, fantastic. He only... Well, we have this in other clips. I don't want to get into his drug use. He says he's fine. What do you want to get into right now?
Let's get into WWE.
That sounds horrible. I guess we'll do that.
Well, what do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about...
That's fine. We got to talk about it.
We can talk about Floyd Mayweather.
I could talk about Floyd Mayweather, but honestly, it just comes down to me playing another clip because Floyd, the whole shit went down with him, and he did the whole thing, and dude headbutted him. And then it became, completely legal again. Okay, fight. You don't walk up and start to apologize or debate. This isn't where, you walk out of your house and, did you say something to me? Well, so what you want to do? So what is going on? So what are you doing? And what are you, so you're trying to fight? I mean, what you trying to say? So you think you can beat me? Well, no, I was just saying, some shit. Well, so what you want to, this isn't the type of shit to do in the middle of a fight. As soon as they ring that fucking bell, don't start negotiating. Don't start saying you're sorry. Don't start doing shit but punching or defending yourself. So what happened was he headbutted the motherfucker, got deducted a point for headbutting him, and then they said, okay, fight, and then he walked up, I'm sorry, and got knocked the fuck out. So, dude, stop the sorry shit and stop the fucking fighting. Apparently, you needed a headbutt dude to stay in the fight, and then when that shit got called on you, now you're really sorry because you don't want to get knocked the fuck out, and then you got knocked the fuck out. You can't say that sorry shit after the fucking fight when you beat a motherfucker, and then it's like, oh, you know what? I headbutted, I'm sorry for doing that. That wasn't what I was trying to do, but you see in the end that I was able to beat him with my fist, da-da-da. That's how you beat a motherfucker. So anyway, after the fight, some shit like this happened with Floyd Mayweather and Larry Merchant.
You were in charge of the fight. You were aggressive and trying and taking advantage of what
you're
doing.
You know what I'm going to do? Because you don't ever give me a fair shake. You know that? Someone's going to let you talk to Victor Ortiz, all right? I'm through. They put somebody else up and give me an interview.
What are you talking about? You heard him.
You never give me a fair shake. HBO needs to fire you. You don't know shit about boxing. You ain't shit. You're not shit.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
You won't do shit. You won't do nothing.
Yeah, that was that. And honestly, I love fucking, I love Mayweather for that. Because for a guy who's fucking undefeated, you know, to come out there and month after month do what the fuck he's been doing, and somebody completely shit on what he's doing month in and month out and say how he doesn't deserve this and how he's ducking this guy and how he didn't do this right and how he said that wrong and this and that. And then just, like, walk up every month and be like, so, how'd the fight go, buddy? Like, no, we're not buddies. Like, you shit on me month in and month out and call yourself a boxing analyst. This is a guy who was undefeated. Like, everybody wants to see Mayweather versus Pacquiao, right? Pacquiao ain't undefeated. Mayweather is. So, hey, fucking odds on money, Mayweather. Money, May. And that's what it is, man. And I'll put that shit until it fucking doesn't happen because fucking Mayweather will knock Pacquiao the fuck out. Is it in it? Is the money in it for him? To a certain extent. What is it going to do for him? Nothing. He's still undefeated. He's still one of the best fucking boxers in the history of boxing at this point because still undefeated. Everybody they've lined up, he's knocked down. So, and then you have some fucking little bullshit boxing analyst be like, well, I'm not sold on this guy. Like, oh, really, you're the only asshole, so go fuck yourself. And I'm really glad that he stood up for himself and told me, yeah, fuck, you should be fired because you don't know shit about boxing. You're going out there and you know, you're talking shit on a guy who has never fucking lost. Ooh, what the fuck, dude? Like, seriously? So, fuck, yeah. Yeah, fuck that. You don't know shit about boxing, HBO should fire you, and then, if I was 50 years younger, I'd beat your ass. Well, anybody beating fucking Floyd yet? Probably wouldn't be Larry Merchant, dude. Probably wouldn't, so... No matter how many fucking years younger, older, fucking whatever, dude. Take a time machine back and get knocked the fuck out like everybody else that fucking fought Floyd Mayweather. And that's what the bottom line is there. So that's my whole Floyd Mayweather thing. What's your thoughts on that?
Dude, Mayweather is just, he's a fucking champ. He's a fucking boss. You know, he does what he wants. He's the champ right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's an animal, and, like, of course, like, some people might not like his attitude and this and that. Yeah, that's fine, but do something about it. Go do something about it, because he's the fucking guy to beat right now. He's the guy that nobody can fuck with.
I think he needs to be brought back in WWE. I think WWE needs to bring him back soon.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Jesus. Oh, where the fuck is that? Hold on.
Jesus!
I love when he punched Big Show right in the mouth.
Uh-huh.
When he broke his nose, that shit was great.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
You do.
Nothing involving Big Show makes me give a shit.
Yo, play that, play the promo that Reggie did for our show.
The Reggie? I mean, why do you just put me on the spot?
I'm nowhere near that. Reggie's my brother.
I don't love Reggie. Reggie's your brother?
Reggie's my
brother. Is he? Yeah, actually, if anyone doesn't know when our show comes on, and, you know, if you want to get a little plug out of
you're
Reggie.
You're telling me that comes on Thursday nights at 9 o'clock?
That's the one,
yep,
buddy. So anyway,
that's
but no, seriously. Okay. So, I mean, we had a lot of long form shit going. What do you want to get into? WWE?
Monday Night Raw time.
Let's do it.
Fuck that pay per view shit too. That shit pay per view is a joke.
Yeah, sure is. Wow, where the fuck did I even put my nose? I have no idea where I put my nose. It doesn't matter. Monday Night Raw. Write it down for me. And I'll come right at it.
Okay, so basically opening of the show is... CM Punk comes out fucking talking about how he was in a war last night and he felt like a soldier and that he fucking cannot move his... He can't
felt
move his
the personality. Go ahead.
I know your anger. No, it's worse than.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What condition? My condition was.
Devin Moore was nowhere near Raw. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Anyway, so. Punk comes out, fucking talks about how he was in a war last night with Triple H.
Pretty horrible.
Blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah.
I mean, just talk about what interests you, what actually, like, brought you up.
Yeah.
Like, don't run the fucking garbage show. What actually interests you and what actually, you know, brought your attention? What was something that you said, hey, that's something?
Oh, the whole show?
Yeah, and seriously, like, combine that with the pay-per-view, too, because I didn't watch the pay-per-view, but I did
read
it.
I didn't watch the review, either. Let's just
see, like, you know, what... Between Sunday and Monday, what the WWE brought to me, that we can actually say, hey, you know what? What it is.
Well, I'm confused with this whole Miz Truth Nash Laurinaitis thing.
I have no problem with it. I have no confusion with it. But like,
well,
my confusion is the fucking. The best things that have happened to the fucking women's division, period. That's the thing I have a problem with. I really do. Like, what is going on with the Divas of Destruction or the whatever the fuck they call themselves? I don't understand. I really don't understand what they're doing with that shit. Why does Kelly continue to get fucking over? Like, with sloppy wrestling, I did hot my nuts. My nuts are hot. Like, that bitch, she's not that fucking sexy, dude. Seriously, like, she's fuckable, but she's not, like, the hottest bitch out. There's no way. That doesn't just because she fucks a lot of people. Well, I did hear that she was fucking John Laurinaitis, and John Laurinaitis will get you fucking over. That will be the fucking dude that gets you over. No matter how fucking talented or untalented you are, if you start fucking that nigga, yo, it's over. Like, John Laurinaitis will get you over. So I guess if she's blowing that motherfucker, then yeah, she'll never lose another match. But what it comes down to is, seriously, Beth and Natalya, come on, man. Come on, son. You know what I mean? Like, that shit is supposed to fucking work. That shit is supposed
to be fucking,
some...
They should be fucking Laurinaitis.
Who should be? What?
I said they want good pushes and good matches and wins, and that's what they should be fucking. They should be going for Triple H, to be honest.
This is too much, man. Like, honestly, seriously. Like, I don't want women's wrestling on my TV unless it's meant to be fucking wrestling. I don't want to be like you fucked yourself into a position. There's women who are built to be in this fucking business, and you would go the Beth Phoenix. You would go the Natalya. You would go the Sarah Del Rey. You would go the Mercedes Martinez. You would go the Mia Yim, who's fucking tour in Japan. You would go the Mickey Knuckles on the hardcore circuit. You would go a lot of different people, but you would not go just fucking Kelly because she's sucking a lot of dick. That doesn't make that shit right. Oh yeah,
friend.
Eve Torres is doing a horrible version. Like, it. That bitch brought her ass to, like, back in the day, fucking, she brought her ass to Hunka Bunka and did that shit with her butt in the fucking, in the club. She would get, like, a bunch of dick in her that night, but, like, no one remembered the fuck what her name was. I mean, like,
Hunka Bunka.
Yeah, Hunka Bunka back in the day, that was the shit over there, up north and shit. But, nah, I mean, that type of shit. You know what I mean? Like, that bitch wouldn't come out of there with people knowing who she is or saying, yeah, that's that chick. She'd be like, yo, this crazy bitch. She started waving her ass in the air, so I put it in it. And then, I don't know, don't know what the fuck her name is. She has, I think, silver on. Silver, like blue silver type shit. That bitch. You seen that bitch? You're like, oh, I seen that bitch. I did the same thing. Oh, okay, okay, yeah. I don't know. That bitch is crazy. And then you go home. You just go home, and nothing matters anymore. And the next night, I mean, maybe 2 weeks later, you ain't got no shit, and you're like, I wonder where that blue and silver wearing freak bitch is. But there's no talent involved. There's no, oh, wow, what a great woman. There's no, oh, I respect you for what you are. It's just like you're just slanging it. I mean, you just, it is what it is, and this is the type of shit on the women's division in the WWE. You're either slanging it or you're fucking working hard, and that's kind of a second step to actually just slanging that shit. I mean, so it's fucked up. To me, it's fucked up. I mean, so anyway, the CM Punk thing, I don't know. They, like I said, they are working Mr. Future Endeavor. They've trademarked Future Endeavor and this and that. So they're creating a stable. I mean, they have, you know, Miz and R-Truth now. They fired Miz and R-Truth, quote unquote. You know, Kevin Nash fired. Vince McMahon fired. And now, like, they even, like, put out, like, backlash that Vince McMahon is pissed off that fucking Alberto Del Rio mentioned his name because he's supposed to return within the next 3 weeks. See, there is too much coverage on the reality of the wrestling business for you to be all cute with your little kayfabe and fuck fans for a couple weeks at a time. Bring fans the best fucking entertainment possible. Stop with this elaborate build that's going to leak onto the internet, and everyone's going to go, oh, great, that's great. Like, even if I didn't know about that shit, I wouldn't give a fuck about that shit. Like, I don't care if Vince McMahon, unless you worked an angle where Vince McMahon dies and they report his death and he's gone for fucking 2 years, and then all of a sudden he pops up, you're like, oh, shit! Like, that's the only fucking way that I'm actually going to be like, whoa, shit, it's Vince! Like, if they really, like, legitimately sell a dude's death for a couple of years, like, there's people who are over, there's people who are not, there's just people who are figureheads, but, like, you can only work so deep of an angle because you're really not worth anything to people who want to see wrestling. The angle is only worth so much to me.
Right.
You know, it accents the wrestling that I enjoy. But it doesn't make or break the product. I mean, it can break. But it really doesn't make the product to me because I want to see good wrestling. I'm forced into this fucking angle storyline bullshit. Then at least make it good. And it's not. I don't know.
The matches have to be good. The matches have to be good, right? You know.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be good. They have to be great all the time. They're professional wrestlers. They know what they're fucking doing.
They have the money. They have the talent. They have all of that shit to put on good matches, and they choose to just fucking kayfabe the shit out of it. Nah, just
and fuck around. Dick. They're like fuck around champions.
Yeah. Well, now they're going to fucking, you know, put the two Sin Caras against each other, figure out who botched it,
right.
And then we're fucking, they'll put the two Sin Caras against each other, figure out who botches more, and they'll fucking release that guy. And then the other guy will be Sin Cara, and they'll fucking do, oh, I'm victorious. But, whatever, dude.
It'll be the original Sin Cara.
You think he botches least?
No, I said that's going to be the one, because that one's the most impressive. The other Sin Cara is boring. It fucking does nothing. Yeah, that's what you do when you wake up in the morning, I heard.
Ah.
I got from Sin Cara. He told me. He sent me a message.
So, I mean, do you have any other WWE shit to talk about? Because,
Yeah, of course. It's Mark Henry debacle. Why the fuck do they put
Mark,
him as a champion?
Why not? Mark Henry deserves every fucking single bit of that. Man.
Are you serious?
Are we kidding?
He's horrible.
No, I'm dead ass, man. Mark Henry's a fucking beast. a fucking animal, and there's no reason why he doesn't deserve a fucking title. After all these fucking years, he's in his end fucking stretch. He's beasting out on people and owning motherfuckers, and he is a crusher. He is what
why
a crusher
couldn't they do
is
that
supposed
with Big
to
Show?
Be.
Why couldn't they do that with Big Show?
Big Show's a piece of shit. Big Show's a big, lazy motherfucker who has never done anything impressive, has no fucking enthusiasm, has no power for his size. Fucking Big Show should be throwing people through the rafters, and he's a fucking lazy, weak motherfucker, and he's huge, and that doesn't matter to me. That does not matter. You cannot just be big and retarded like the great Khali. You can't be fucking big and fucking, this will have to do, and fucking pick someone up and throw them over the top rope like fucking Big Show does. Fucking Zandig did that for fucking years. Not the shit on Zandig. I'm saying just like the Big Show gets a huge push and huge fucking status in the business because of how big he is. But there's the fucking Nate Hatred, John Zandig, fucking Michael Elgin, fucking all these other people who do much more impressive power shit than this fucking enormous
Nui.
Fucking guy.
But, Nui, Mr. Toy Figa.
Yeah, fuck, yeah, new guy. But in the same token, like, this is the type of shit that I'm saying, like, that dude is not impressive. He's not. He's big and stupid, but it's like, if just, like, big-ass buildings make you stop and stare in the middle of the streets, and that's great. But if his work fucking impresses you, that's another thing. I don't think his work impresses anybody. I think fucking Mark Henry's work should impress a lot of people because he's very strong, he's very beastly, he's fucking put in his work, he's done every fucking thing that he's been asked to do, and now he's put in a crusher role, and he's fulfilled that role 100%. And the way he picks people up and fucking manhandles them, he is a true crusher. I think Mark Henry is a far better champion than fucking Randy Orton could be. That shit is so stale, it's ridiculous. I'm a snake man. Look at me. I'm a snake man. I shave my eyebrows. I'm a snake man. Like,
what about Cena? You a fan of Cena winning the belt or no?
Cena's a fucking horrible wrestler, but he's a huge draw to the fans. So he is a guy who you can expect to be in that title picture. You know, this is a different title, so you can expect
him. He's a 10-time champion. He's going to hit 16, I'm telling you. He's going to win the belt 16 times. So, just like Flair.
If only he could come up with a promo anywhere near Flair's. You know, but anyway, he's a douchebag. He's a jackass. The president said that. But, you know, it's just I don't know, man. It's just, the fact of the matter is, like, I can't see where the fuck this dude is where shit as far as Cena. But, no. Mark Henry is a crusher. He deserves the fucking belt. Let him kill motherfuckers. Why not? Does that not make sense to anybody out there? Seriously, like, is someone like, please put the belt back on Orton because it was going so well with him being a snake man. He was just, yeah. Like, what else is happening that is so good that fucking, that Mark Henry can't go around killing motherfuckers for the last year and a half of his career? And just be a fucking beast, because honestly, he is in the fucking last stretch, and as far as being world's strongest man, he has fucking proven that. Like, that's real shit. Like, this dude is a beast. Like, as big as he is, he's not really fat, honestly. Like, he's a fucking block. He's a block of a dude, and he just fucking owns people. I honestly couldn't be happier for the dude, and am fully, fully behind what Mark Henry's doing right now. He's thrown people around. He's fucking slammed people through shit. And he is like, he's a fucking human hippo, dude. Like, if you see how far his eyes are sunk into his fucking eyebrows are jacked. Like, that shit isn't right. Like, that is, his fucking eyebrows are jacked. Seriously, like, his eyes are sunk into his head because his fucking eyebrows and cheeks are jacked up. I just,
yeah.
I don't know, man. Let him do it, man. Just let him do what he wants. What?
No, I said, I don't know what the fuck. I was about to say, what the fuck's going on my computer? My computer is messing up. I don't want to.
Maybe I should talk louder so Nina can hear me because she can't hear it through the computer. I'm going to play another Teddy clip because I love him. And not because I support him, I think he's saying he's just so funny. I'm going to do that, and then we're going to have to come back, and we're going to get into the Ring of Honor, which I have a good amount to say about
Ring,
it. Dude, I have to get on this. Huh?
I said Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor.
I have to get
Ring
into my
Honor,
big
Daddy
thing while it's still live, but no, it's going to go archive and either way. But here goes Teddy. He's crazy.
You know, there's a lot of things that people don't know about. Sometimes information is key. If you have a show with a lot of cool information and the show's radically different because you never know what's going to happen because you don't know what people's thought processes are. The world's unpredictable. Technology is even more unpredictable. Science and technology together adds a great twist, and you add that to athletics and anything's possible. I don't know why I can't have a flying broom like Harry Potter. If there's an airplane in the sky, you know what I mean? And I believe that technology and the movies and all that stuff's going to it's going to bridge the gap, and sooner or later you're going to be able to put on a pair of shorts and they're going to allow you to levitate, and you're going to be able to do a shooting star press with an extra 4 feet of height because the Nike boots you have a spring in them that's hydraulically made by some crazy scientist in Germany. You know what I mean? And again, you call me fucking crazy, but I smoke a little weed. I've never done any other chemical drugs in my life. I just think that wrestling's one of those sports that allows people to be creative, and we need more people like me out there that are going to push the limits of living and what's humanly possible.
No, you're an original thinker, Teddy. Absolutely.
Oh.
And if you got some time here, when we mentioned we were having you on, we got a bunch of listener questions.
What? If Harry Potter can have a broom that blows, why can't I? You know? They've had planes flying in the sky for how long? What is this? You
Teddy,
can't have moon boats
Teddy.
And you can't...
I hope that the marijuana that you said isn't laced with anything crazy.
So anyway, let's get into Ring of Honor.
Okay.
Ring of Honor show over the weekend. Okay, Eric says Ring of Honor. Opening match, Andy, right leg. Isn't that what he called? Right leg? Something?
Yeah, right leg bridge.
Left leg, third leg. Okay. What is he doing? What's his problem? Let me see. I'm trying to find my notes. Andy, right leg bridge. I think that's his name.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What? Yeah?
That's his name.
Okay. Andy, right leg ridge, beats Grizzly fucking Adams. What's this guy? Grizzly. I lost the paper that I wrote this shit. I have, like, abbreviated shit on the paper that I got, but... Grizzly Redwood Adams. And that's cool. I mean, that match wasn't that bad. I still don't understand the whole right leg thing. I think that's kind of ridiculous. I would work the right leg right from the start of the match. It's just like, you got to do it. You work the right leg. He's obviously favoring that one. That was that. You know, it was pretty good. Not too bad. It was, I guess, qualifying for the survival of the fittest gone. Where, you know what I mean? So. What?
No, I thought I had a sneeze.
Okay. Great. So that was that. So then after that match, so because it wasn't bad, you know, it was like kind of. It's weird because, like, they're working up towards, like, a main, like, show type thing where, like, the survival of the fittest becomes like the main part of that show. It's survival of the fittest and it does its thing. You know, and you go from that to like, okay, well, that was kind of a dark match. So, well, great. So there's that. And then they go from that to the Briscoes come out, start the show. And they, you know, they set up the tables and the ladders. It's as about the shit is, you know, like the shit is about to go down, like right then and there. Fucking, yep, we're doing that match and it's fucking set that shit up. So obviously, you know, they cut their promos. They act like crazy rednecks because they are. And, you know, that's just, you know, what they do. They come out there, they cut their really aggressive promos, and it's all good because, you know, I mean, what else do you want those guys to do? That's what they should be doing. And, yeah, so they're doing that. They're coming out, cutting their promo. Next thing you know, next match comes up, and it is Homicide and Jay Lethal versus Tommaso Ciampa and Rhino. Let me tell you something.
Hold on.
Are you saying something, or...
Hold on.
I thought you were saying something. So anyway, what I'm saying is, this match, dude, I thought this was a great fucking match. I thought, you know, the part of the match, like, overall, like, Homicide came out really fucking sharp. Like, he came out quick as shit. Like, quicker than I've seen Homicide in a long time. And Homicide took a break for a little while, and I know it wasn't a huge break. A lot of people, you know, might have looked at it and said, oh, well, Homicide was only gone. What was that, a month? What was that, a month and a half? Whatever it was enough to fucking sharpen Homicide up 100%. He looked fucking golden. Like, this dude was fucking quick as shit. Like, he was really fast, really fluent. Like, this dude, Homicide, is looking fucking awesome right now. Like I said, if that's what it takes, then this motherfucker should take that off like twice a year. Like, just take a month off twice a year. Seriously. Work fucking 10 months out of the year. You don't deserve that at this point, Homicide? I think you do. And I think the wrestling business and yourself will completely benefit from those 2 months off a year, because honestly, he looked so crisp, so fast. Like, he looked like an up-and-coming wrestler the way he got at it so fast. And Tommaso Ciampa, like, this dude is hugely talented. CZW, oh, big surprise, dropped the fucking ball on not, like, getting this guy in the fucking, in the mix. You know what I mean? They worked him on low-carb shit, and the next thing you know, he's booked fucking steady everywhere else. Why? Because, no, they should have put him, oh, no, Greg Excellent fucking, you know, mystery opponent for the fucking junior title. Oh, yeah, great idea, you fucking douchebag. So anyway, that was really stupid. But what I'm saying, like, this was a good match. And Rhino is a Rhino. Like, his whole shit is just like, I can run into you with my horn. I can throw you over the back of me. And that's it. That's all he is. Like, if you have somebody else to work, like, that match into a match, that's fine. But Rhino is one of those, he's a one-trick pony. He's a one-trick Rhino, as one might say. He does what he does. He doesn't do it badly, but he's not a versatile wrestler. He's not a guy who's going to bring you a whole bunch of shit you haven't seen. He's going to do the same fucking thing and just run program. He's just like an autopilot fucking wrestler that does what he does. Oh, I'll just mow you down with a gore. Like, fuck your gore. You know what I mean? The only gore I'm worried about is Frank. And that's that. So, fuck you, nigga. So, outside of that, next match was The Prodigy, Mark Brennert, against Shelton Benjamin. Listen, dude, I've never really understood this whole I'm the Prodigy and this and that and da-da-da-da. So, well, he came out. I really wasn't that impressed. And the next thing I heard was chants that come through to the mic. So it's obviously pretty loud of "You can't wrestle." Chanted towards Mike Bennett. And I just kind of agreed. I just don't think he's that, the Prodigy, da-da-da-da, whatever. Shelton Benjamin is always talented and, you know, always will be, but I'm not that impressed by this dude. Just don't. I don't think Shelton Benjamin should be a mid-carder either, so it's whatever. next matchup was Young Bucks versus the Bravado Brothers, which I've never seen before. They weren't that bad. Versus Future Shock of Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. Great match, man. I got to tell you, I mean, the Young Bucks are great, great talents with douchebag mentalities. They have a little bit of Teddy in them, and they need to get off that shit, man, because they are hugely fucking talented, and they just have a horrible mind for the business. Like, they're not going to get along with fucking people in the locker room. They think they're so good that that doesn't need to happen, and that's not a fact. That's not at all. Like, someone is going to beat the shit out of them. Like, I want to see them in a six-month feud with the Briscoes. And if they come out of that fucking six-month feud with the Briscoes or, you know, Homicide and Low-Key or some shit like that, then obviously they get the business. But they've worked a guy here. They've worked a guy there. They bust their ass. They fucking do tremendous shit in the ring. But when it comes down to it, I keep hearing reports that these guys are just not respectful. They're not. They don't give a shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how that goes down. I don't know, man. I don't think that's cool.
Just put Billy's Most Wanted in there with them.
Who?
Billy's Most Wanted.
Oh, yeah, that'll do too, but not as badass as they are, they're kind of polite, dude. They need to start taking heads. And I think that would actually put them on the map. They're two cats that are very, very capable of that, but they're kind of like tiptoeing around that to not hurt people's feelings, even though they're definitely the type of people that hurt people's feelings. But I have a feeling like these guys just aren't trying to do that right now, because last month they would have hurt these two dudes. But they were nice dudes backstage. So you can't do that. But no, if you show up in the fucking ring and you're not capable of being there, if you show up in the back and you're not fucking you're respectable enough, then you should get it, and that's the fact. And that's not criticizing, you know, Billy's Most Wanted whatsoever. It's just the fact that, like, no one wants to be that guy that steps outside of his professionalism and actually gives it to this motherfucker in the ring. You know, Teddy was able to do that Homicide was actually able to do that with Teddy because he had so much credibility in that company and opportunities everywhere else. It was like, if you don't like it, fuck it. You know, whatever. I mean, I'm going to beat this dude ass. I mean, it is what it is. So that wasn't like a real big deal, but in the same token, like, he has his spot. You know what I mean? Like, there was no just, okay, we're fucking done with you. Ugh. But the Young Bucks, man, they have some attitude problems, but they have tremendous fucking talent. And that match was good, man. The match was good. The Bravado Brothers got taken out first, and then it was, you know, the Young Bucks and Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. And fucking four super talented dudes. Great match, man. So, what was up next? Oh, shit. I think I lost what was up next. Was it Jacobs and El Generico? I think so. Well, they did that. And I'll tell you like this. Match wasn't as good as I would want it to be. Wasn't as good as I wanted to be. And How much longer are we actually, like, live for people who listen live?
We're supposed to be 3 hours tonight.
So we got ample time, right? Like, we still got over an hour.
Yeah.
Wow, okay, just so I know, because I'm about to go on a fucking ballistic rant. Okay. So this match happened, Jacobs versus El Generico. And they did a decent job and this and that, but I think those guys could fucking steal the show any time of the fucking year.
I know where you're going with this.
Next thing you know, what happened was, I don't know if you do, but next thing you know, what happened was, is Kevin Steen interfered. And,
yes, I know.
interjected himself into this match. And he's just the biggest thing out right now, isn't he? Okay, you know what? Here it goes. If Kevin Steen doesn't look exactly like Chaz Bono right now, then I don't know what the fuck is going on. You know what I mean? Because this fucking guy is fatter than shit. And all of a sudden, this whole thing is fucking kill Steen, kill. Everybody that fucking feeds him fast food and grease should be telling him, chill, Steen, chill. Because this motherfucker is ridiculous. This motherfucker is a fucking whale. There's fucking... I was a big fan of Kevin Steen when he came out. Fucking CZW back then, you know, the IWA shit he was doing back then, and all that shit with Sexy Eddie and El Generico and all that shit, right? Well, now this motherfucker is enormous. I don't know what the fuck he's been doing, but it ain't been working out. So this motherfucker comes out there, and he does this whole fucking, I'm gonna grab Kairi Silken. Oh, yeah, you're cute. Yeah, whatever. This dude was trying to fuck Kenny Omega fucking 2 years ago, and now you're going to beat him up? Oh, I'm sure that's definitely the toughest thing to do. So anyway, he does that shit, and again, like, he's getting huge response from people out of ROH. He's getting huge response out of people from fucking Evolve. Huge response out of people from Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. He's just worldwide. He's just spread across the fucking, now even world. But he's just like, he's just spreading the fucking nation with, oh my God, Kevin Steen. Stealing CM Punk's gimmick, where he walks into every company and shoots on the fucking management. So that's fucking CM Punk shit. But, oh, Kevin Steen. Oh my God, Kevin Steen. Oh my God, Kevin Steen. Hey, has anybody fucking mentioned that you've doubled in size and not worked on yourself whatsoever? Has anybody mentioned that you can't do half the fucking moves you did when you actually got over in the fucking U.S.? When fucking you showed up in CZW and you did, I think you called it a go-home driver. And you pick a motherfucker up like a baby, right? And then you swing him around your back and then you would fucking like drive him. Kind of like a reverse DVD type joint. Try that shit now, fat boy. Unless this motherfucker is like 5'11", 6 foot tall. Their body wouldn't fucking reach around the back of you for you to hook them over to fucking do that little go-home driver. So, I mean, maybe it's some shit you should think about before you run around talking about how you're the best, how you're this, how you're that. Kill, Steen, kill. Really? Kill, Steen, kill. Well, Steen is killing Steen right now. Because your ass is going to die of a fucking heart attack, you fat motherfucker. You are the most overrated motherfucker in this business right now. You're running around. You're getting all this fucking credit. Oh, Steen worked fucking 3 times. I'm sure those matches were really fucking long. I'm sure those matches didn't fucking give you any type of breaks. I'm sure there was no outside rest where you put your head on the fucking apron. I'm sure that nothing was worked around your fucking physical disability. I'm sure you're not going to be fucking driving a rascal in fucking 5 years. I'm sure all that shit is the truth. I mean, you're going to be driving a rascal around Walmart in 5 years if you continue to do what you're doing. And I don't give a shit. Like, I'm tired of this fucking Steen shit. Like, I was a fan of Steen back then. But, like, when it comes to now, like I said, you look like Chaz Bono more than any other human being right now. You are fucking Chaz Bono, dude. Like, I'm kind of rooting for Kevin Steen to win Dancing with the Stars, but I don't really watch it. So I'm asking the girl, like, yo, how's Steen doing and shit? You know what I mean? I put on my wrestling, my Mr. Wrestling shirt tonight because I heard, you know, he was dancing and shit. So, Mr. Wrestling. He should call himself Mr. Wendy's and shit instead of Mr. Wrestling. Like,
Mr.
what the fuck is going on?
Maybe Mr. McDonald's.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to stick with the W's. So that's why I was like Mr. Wendy's and shit. But, I mean, Mr. Wendy's, Mr. Motherfucking Calories, Mr. Motherfucking Heart Attack. Because this guy is fucking completely has let himself go and then got to a more arrogant state ever. And the fans are just like, yeah! Fucking kill Steen! And it's just like, how about you suck my dick, you fat motherfucker? Because, you know what I mean? You're like one of the little fat bitches that suck people's dick on the weekends and maybe he would.
Maybe he would.
I mean, it's not really my goal. It's not really like that's what I want to happen with me. But I'm just saying, like, you look just like one of the fat bitches. You get to blow you, and then you don't have to remember them, and then never, they don't even have your phone number. That's like the type of chick. I mean, like, that's the type of dude he looks like. He's just knockoff. Like, this dude is complete knockoff right now, and he's getting so much fucking credit. And his whole, what?
He can't do that moonsault anymore off the top rope either.
Nah, he can't do a lot of shit he used to do, dude. He used to do a smooth moonsault. He used to do a lot of shit, dude. And he can't fucking wipe his asshole right now. This dude he's fucking garbage, dude. I can't understand. You put yourself to that point in your life, and now you're the fucking most arrogant you've ever been in your life. Seriously? Seriously, you came over fucking from Canada, maybe you were a little bit arrogant, but you kind of kept cool about it, and you were impressed in the ring. Now everybody's on your dick, and you're Chaz Bono, dude. You're fucking Chaz Bono. So, yeah, I mean, Mr. Wrestling, Chaz Steen.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah, he's real fucking impressive. I'll shoot on Kerry. Oh, shoot on Kerry. Oh, yeah, we give a shit, dude. Yeah, we all give a shit. So anyway, I think there was more of the show than that. They had after that they had what was it? Two matches. There was two matches that I had to watch today, and I wrote down somewhere else, but was
Eddie Edwards, Roderick.
Was that the next one?
It might have been.
Okay,
I think so.
If that was the next one. Phenomenal fucking match. Those are two beasts of fucking athletes. Eddie's actually getting booked in Jakarta soon, and that's a good move, man. Anyone that books
really?
Eddie Edwards, he's debuting in Jakarta soon. And, you know, he's a tremendous...
I suggested that to my friend.
I said
they should book Eddie Edwards a long time ago.
He's a tremendous athlete. He deserves every fucking bit of credit he ever gets. I put on the match last night. It was one of those matches I didn't watch yet. And, you know, the girl Nina, she knows Roderick and stuff from back in the day, CZW and different IWA and Ring of Honor stuff that I have been playing. And, she knows his status and stuff like that. And, like, we're sitting there watching it and shit, you know, a little late in the night, just laying there like, all right. And she's like, who is this guy in the red? I was like, oh, it's Eddie Edwards. She's like, he's really fucking good. And I said, yeah, you damn right he is. I mean, he's really good. There's no babies about it. Like, the dude is, he's really good. And, I mean, it is what it is. Like, he's a really unknown dude. Honestly, like, he's for a guy who gets the amount of credit that fucking Chaz Bono gets.
He has been in CZW before.
Eddie Edwards has?
Yep. Not as Eddie Edwards, though, but as Die Hard.
Die Hard? What?
He wrestled Sumi Sakai in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and I was at that show. He was 80 pounds heavier, and he had dreadlocks.
Wow.
Yep.
Mascot?
No.
Oh. All right, but
he
either way,
mad
I mean...
different now. He was, like, 19 when he did that. He wrestled Sumi, who was under a mask, as the Yellow Michinoku Ranger. It was January 16th, 2006. At the Allentown Project.
What?
It was the Yellow Michinoku Ranger. And DJ wrestled John Dahmer in the opening contest for that show.
I'm sure that was a fucking show stealer right there.
You're damn right.
Yeah.
You need to remember that match. You need to start remembering these matches.
I actually have a monument in my yard for that.
You fucking every time you see it, you cry and you're like, oh my god, it gets me so emotional.
No, I have a stream where I skip rocks on when I think about DJ Hyde's matches. Yeah, I have like a reflection stream. There's just a pile of rocks that actually exceed the level of the water at this point. But anyway, Yeah, I mean, he's just a tremendous wrestler, dude. And, like, I give him tons of fucking credit. And him and Roderick tore shit up. They're fucking tremendous. And great fucking match. One of the reasons why you'd want to fucking cop this DVD or, you know, attend Ring of Honor is because they have talent like fucking Roderick Strong and like Eddie Edwards. And don't worry about what the fuck Chaz Bono is going to show up and do on the show, because that doesn't matter. Watch Dancing with the Stars and collect your votes and da da da. Anyway, you know, the big joint, the main event. Jay Briscoe, Mark Briscoe, the Briscoe brothers, facing the All Night Express of Rhett Titus, hometown boy over here, and Kenny Kane, the Pretty Boy Pitbull, as they call him. These guys tore it up in a fucking ladder match, and all of them were bleeding their fucking ass off. I think Kenny King was the last one to really bleed, whatever. But Jay Briscoe was doing one of those, like, piss out of his head bleeding. Like, he was bleeding bad. And they just continued to fucking work the match, do spots. Fucking Mark Briscoe pulled one of those. I don't know how high that ladder was, but you know, like, the big orange double-sided ladders?
Yeah.
Like, how high are those ladders? I think they're, like, at least, like, 15
20 feet.
Foot
15 feet? 20? 15,
like,
20? 20,
yeah, like, 15, 20 foot. Well, he, like, stood clear up on the top of it on the outside and splashed a motherfucker through a table. Like...
On the inside or now?
On the outside.
Oh, shit.
Like, the ladder was set up on the outside, table was set up on the outside, and he did a fucking full stand-up fucking splash. Not crouch down and try to fall a little bit, like stand-up and jump and splash the motherfucker on the outside. Like, these guys are fucking insane. Like you said, what about the people?
Damn right, though.
What about the people? Now, like, the Briscoes are fucking maniacs, and, you know, he's All Night Express, the hometown homeboy over here, fucking Rhett Titus, which I'm sure we're probably going to have on the show with not too long a time. And, but yeah, man, like, these guys, they tore that shit up. You want to see motherfuckers bleed and kill each other and shit like that? You're going to see these four fucking tear that shit up in that fucking ladder match, and, yeah, they did the goddamn thing for sure. So, you know, All Night Express actually came out on top. But I would encourage everybody to check out that fucking pay-per-view and send Chaz Bono a fucking shout-out as well. So.
You.
Yeah, I mean. So,
Fuck that fat-ass Kevin Steen. Bag it.
Cunt bag.
Yeah.
So, what are we going to do now? I think that's Ring of Honor. I have Teddy Clips. I have, I don't know.
It don't matter. What do you want to do?
Don't matter.
You can do a moonsault if you want. You can do a shooting star press if you want. You can do a splash. It don't matter. What's Teddy going to take next?
I really don't have much more. Pretty much thinking we just wrap this shit up.
No more Teddy Clips.
What?
No more Teddy Clips, you said?
No. We have plenty of Teddy Clips. But why just end the show playing a bunch of audio, you know? We'll save that for next show, because next show will only be fucking more classic. We have tons of Teddy. And, oh boy, I have great stuff, believe me. It's going to be very good. And I just feel like we should take this out on a high note. I think we had a great show. We covered a lot of stuff, you know, did a bunch of things. And, yeah, why not, you know? Give ourselves a night rest, and fucking next Thursday, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, www.blogtalkradio.com/YKRonline. That's where the fuck we are. But you guys already know. It is what it is, man. Erica, I mean, you got anything else you want to go into before we take this,
nah,
take this
just
off?
Check me out. Check me out this Sunday in Strasburg, PA. Strasburg High School, Extreme Hybrid Wrestling. Check it out on Facebook and show you that, Extreme Hybrid Wrestling. I'll be there.
Check this motherfucker out. Like, he hates your town, but he'll be there and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Of course, fuck that stupid-ass town. I fucking lived there for 2.5 years. Fucking worst town in goddamn fucking America. But come fucking buy the ticket. Come say hello and give me your money, and we'll be cool.
Give me your money.
I am Artie Markland, and I fucking rule.
Artie Markland. That's actually David's brother. And
I'm his brother. I'm going to tell him to give me my money.
Well, anyway. I think we're out. We'll check you motherfuckers out next Thursday. I had a great time with you guys. Big shout out to everybody listening. Brent Maddie is fucking awesome. Glad to have you. And, check out our outro and then check us out next week. And
No miss. You gotta check out Wrestling Soup.
Boys over there, Wrestling Soup. No doubt. Joey Numbers and
right
Anthony Missionary Thomas. Yes, they sure are. And Eric Williams, I'm J. Cat Morris. Go fuck yourself. All right.
Trying to get our two boys ready to carry them to golf tournament before practice, right? 12 cats live across the road. Our door's open. Screen's broke. We need to get a new screen door, but the screen's broke. So you come in through the screen, but you can't get back out of it. I turn and look. There's a little kitty cat in our kitchen. So I said, what are you doing in here, little kitty cat? By that time, the cat turns, tries to get back out. The screen won't go that way. Cat starts going, meow, all crazy. And I told our players, we need more dogs. Bo's barking in the back. I have to go shut Bo up. Mel's like, what's going on? I said, there's a cat in the house. Cat in the house? I said, yeah, there's a cat in the house. So I told our players, I tried to let it out the front door. Meow, meow. The cat's still going crazy in there. And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Meow, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.